You ready? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your word and in your spirit this morning. I thank you for these precious people, and I ask you to open their ears that they may hear what the Spirit's saying to them, to the church. We thank you that you are God in the earth today, and we give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I wanted to read 16, but I'm going to restrain. Therefore, if any man, say any man, any man be in Christ, well, what if you were a Muslim? What if you were Jewish? What if you were Hispanic? What if you were whatever you are, right? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creature. Say new creature.
New creature.
It really means new creation, something that didn't exist before, brand new. Like, hello, you weren't here and now you're here. You understand? New creature. Completely different, didn't exist before, in Christ, brand new. Are you here?
Yes.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, say old things.
Old things.
Old things are passed away. What does passed away mean?
Gone.
It's gone, it's passed, it's in the past,
yep.
And it's away.
Thank God.
It's not here in the now, it's passed away. And this is a little bit what we're going to talk about, because we have the tendency to try to bring what it should be past in the past and to bring it to today. It's gone. It's dead. It's buried. It's gone. You are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live, not you, but Christ lives in you.
Yes.
Buried with him in baptism, raised unto a new life. You understand? That's why it's a problem when church people try to continue to live like the world, when they're not, that's not who they are. They're bringing the past with them, right? And they're making that new man conform to the old man rather than the other way around. And that's why it's a problem when churches just try to baby people into Christianity. Don't require any change, just let them come in and we'll act just like the world, but we'll say the prayer. And hopefully when you die, you go to heaven. That's no way to live. Is that right?
Yes.
Am I preaching today?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold. Say behold. What does behold mean? What does behold mean? Look at it. This is what you should be looking at. This is what you should be thinking about. This is the way you should see yourself. Say, see yourself.
See yourself.
You need to see yourself as the new man. Guess who has a problem with that?
The old man.
The old man, the old man's friends, your family. Say family.
Family.
Why? Because they don't know you that way. Did Jesus have a problem with his family that way?
Yeah.
They had a problem seeing him as Jesus, who we know him as. Because they saw him as just Jesus, the older brother that they grew up with. Right?
Yes.
So who's going to have a problem? Your family's going to have a problem with seeing you. And I know that's one of the reasons why, you know, early on in my Christianity, I knew I kind of had to get away from my family. Not that they aren't nice people and good people, it's just I had to get away from them so that I could grow and not be oppressed and pushed down and made to conform to who I was. It's just Andy. And all the things. Hey, remember that? I love what Dad Hagen used to say. People come up to him after he got born again. He'd say, remember that time, you know, when we did this and so? And he goes, nope, that man died. Yes, you do. You remember we were there and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, no, nope, that man died. I mean, he didn't die. You're right there. Nope, he died. Now, are they going to understand that? The worldly people going to understand that? No. That's why sometimes you have to remove yourself for good reason from those kind of people, because they want to hold you in the past. right? And you know what? It doesn't stop there. You gotta listen to me. It doesn't stop there. Every time you grow, say grow. You got people who are not growing, who knew you at that early stage of growth, who don't want you to change, and they're going to try to hold you on that place. Sometimes those people are going to have to be cut off too. Yeah, cut off. Meaning you don't go there, you don't hang out there anymore, because they will continually try to hold you to that place of immaturity where you were at that one time. I had somebody tell me, you know, the other day, they said, I made some statement about, you know, big government, how it's evil, and socialism or something like that, and, you know, how it's not of God, and it's perverted, and it does things to people that it shouldn't be doing. It's not freedom. Some say, I don't remember the entire statement. Somebody from my past, say from my past, before I was saved or anything, or actually it was shortly after I got saved, they said, they put a comment, and they said, well, isn't that what you said about rock and roll music? It was perverted and of the devil. And I'm thinking, you know, now I probably wouldn't say such a strong statement, but at that time in my Christianity, when I, because you got to understand, I was, that's what I was into. And to me, it was almost a god. That's what I did all the time. I was a musician and you know, rock and roll, right? But at some point when I got saved, I knew I had to set it aside. But see, they remember that statement from 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they still remember that. So if my interaction with them is to hold me to that level of immaturity. Yeah. You understand? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm just telling you, it's something you're going to have to deal with if you're going to grow. And if you're going to grow in healing, you're going to grow in prosperity, you're going to grow in the things of the Spirit, there's going to be a lot of people who don't like it, who aren't growing, who are going to criticize you and try to hold you back from your growth. And if they push too hard, it just means you can't hang out with them. Mm-hmm. Just cut them off.
That's right.
Depending on what you want. Well, I want my boat of happy friends. Well, they're not going to be happy, and they're going to hold you back, and they'll probably end up sinking your ship. Mm. All right. Did we read all of that? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Brand new. New friends, new associations, new things that you think. Say that you think. New thoughts, new words, new language. You talk differently now. You sound differently now. You have a new language. Say new language.
New language.
All things are new. And all things, verse 18, and all things are of what?
God.
Well, that sounds very narrow-minded of you, this new man that you are now. I mean, God this, God that, God, 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 God. Yeah, all things are of God. Because now you were a man without God, without the covenants of promise. You were without God, now you're with God, and all things that you have are of God. Why do you talk about it all the time? Because that's who you are. That's what your things are. Yeah, but I knew you back when. No, that guy's dead. That's passed away. You don't know what a passed away means. Passed away, it's dead, it's gone, it's buried. Problem is, people don't want to keep it buried. They try to prop it up and drag it along with them. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and has given us unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Yay.
Glory.
So who is this new man? Obviously, we got the old man, and he's died. He's supposed to pass away with all of his old stuff. What about this new man? What are you born into? And see, a lot of times, you know, churches won't preach on this. They'll preach on the part that I just said, you know, but now you're born again, right? But what are you born into?
Yes.
That's why people, you know, we're not born into being a zombie. Now I'm a Christian zombie and I just walk around and I wait till I die and go to heaven. Probably don't hear those words together too often, Christian zombie. But honestly, that's what I feel. Sometimes some of the Christians I talk to, that's what they look like. They look like a zombie. When you try to talk to them about the greater things of the kingdom of God, and they're like, I must eat your brain. Whose side are you on? Right? Make a good graphic. Welcome to our church. Well, we'll suck the life out of you. And you'll want to die and go to heaven sooner. All things are new and all things are of God. Now, what I'm trying to get you to do, and we'll continue on here. Let's go to John chapter 12. Yay. God's a good God. John chapter 12. Yes, amen. Let's read this story here. 12 verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. Say, very costly.
Very costly.
A pound of spikenard, very costly. And anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. And this was, according to, you know, translations and scholars, they say this is about a year's wage. So she took a year's wage and poured it onto Jesus. And the disciples, Judas, but the other ones kind of chimed in on it, said, why, this is a waste. Why didn't you sell it and give it to the poor? Are you here?
Yeah.
And he said it not because he cared for the poor, because he was a thief and he had the bag. Well, think about it. He wanted a year's wage in his bag so he could do whatever he wanted to with it and pretend he gave it to the poor. Ooh. And he had the bag and put it therein. Verse 7, John 12, 7. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor you always you have with you, but me you have not always.
Isn't that nice, the poor?
You're missing it. Jesus said, the poor you have with you, but me you have not with you. Was Jesus calling himself poor?
No.
Was he associating with the poor?
No.
He made a clear demarcation between who was poor and who wasn't poor. Jesus didn't consider himself poor. Well, right here, Rich, this kind of blows the theory of that verse that I read in 2 Corinthians 8. It says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he is rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. They would say that Jesus became poor on the earth. Well, if Jesus was poor on the earth, then he didn't know it, because he said here, the poor you have with you, but you don't have me with you.
Come on.
And they're saying that Jesus was poor on the earth. So you're supposed to be poor on the earth. He was made poor on the cross. You understand that? He was rich on the earth. Let's see you feed 5,000 people over and over again. If you're poor. Did King show up to your birth when you were in the hospital? King showed up and gave you gold, and then they lived off it for several years as a family? Is that what happened when you were born? Angels showed up, stars and stuff.
Yeah, he's born in a manger.
Because there was no room for them in the inn. They went to the inn. There just wasn't any room.
That's right.
And And it was so prophecy could be fulfilled. But as soon as he was born, rich baby, he was the richest. Are you here? I don't think you're here. He was the richest baby that ever existed as soon as he was born. God sent kings from the other side of the earth to come and make it so. He was rich baby. I think I was just ranting there a little. Where did I leave off? Oh, Jesus is Lord. 12:8, that's right. For the poor you have with you always, but me you have not. Now remember, passed away. Old man passed away. Now you are become new and all things are of God. You need to begin associating with the things that are of God and not the things that are of the world and not the things that are of the past. You may have been poor, but if you're going to associate with Jesus, you're going to be associating with the rich. You understand? You may have been sick, but you no longer associate with sickness. Remember, Jesus said, the evil one comes, he has nothing in me. He didn't associate with evil. You may have been a sinner, but you don't associate with sin anymore. You associate with righteousness, right? Sin just doesn't have an effect on you and hold on you because you just don't associate with that anymore. Is this making sense? Health, prosperity, righteousness. The things of the Spirit, the things of God, the kingdom of heaven. This is your association, right?
Yep.
And people that aren't associating with that, you need to keep them at arm's distance. It doesn't mean you can't talk to them. It doesn't mean you can't be nice to them. But they're not the ones you hang out with and associate with. Are you here?
Yeah.
Stop trying to associate with the old you. Listen to me. Stop associating with the old you. I don't think you're hearing me, because people keep trying to do it. People keep trying to associate with the old you. Stop that. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Is this annoying yet? Stop it. Knock it off. Stop it. Stop associating. Now, who's going to stop it? God? God will stop it. God will stop bringing those people around. No, you have to stop it. You put your foot on it and say no. Say no.
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 Right?
Yes.
What did Jesus say to the devil when he came up and tried to tempt him? He said, no, it is written. Well, we're going to get here. You associate with it is written now. You don't associate with the old you. I can't do it. How many of you in the old you or just in the natural you, there's a lot of things you can't do. I can't do. That's not what you associate with anymore. You associate with, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Jesus took my poverty that I would bear his wealth. I am wealthy. I am healed. Himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. By his stripes I'm healed. I am healed. I associate with health. You understand? I don't associate with sickness and disease. I don't associate with sin. Well, I'm having fun anyway. Stop trying to bring back the past. It's with everybody. Stop trying to bring back the past. You don't have a past. Your past is gone. He removed it as the east is from the west. He doesn't remember it anymore. No past. Past is past. It's gone. All you have is a future. And guess what? Your future does not include your past. And so if you're trying to bring along the past and the associations of the past into the future, they don't belong there. Are you here? I'm trying to be nice this morning. This is a nice message. This is the good news. The past, you know, a lot of people hold on to the past with great memories. I had great memories. Good, have the memories, but they should be a distant memory. Because the future you, the you now, is brand new, a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. You're a completely different person. And I'm just telling you what I believe God said. Stop trying to bring back the past. You have no past, only a future. Don't bring it back. Don't bring it up. Don't dig it up. You ever try to go out and dig up a grave?
No?
No? Well, neither have I. You don't want to do that. The poor you have with you, but me you have not with you. Are you telling me that Jesus associated with, he was buried with the rich. He was born with kings, bringing him presents, birthday presents. What kind of birthday presents do kings bring you? Good ones. Something that's representative of them, not you. Right? And he was a king and they recognized it. He was born wealthy. He lived wealthy. The poor you have with you, he associated with the rich. And then he was buried with the rich. And we have church people go, well, he had nowhere to lay his head. Really? There wasn't a time when Jesus had some place to lay his head as soon as he got into the ministry. Do you remember Zacchaeus was a wee little man? A wee little man was he? He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Do you remember Zacchaeus?
Yes.
He was the wealthiest man around. He was the tax collector. He had the nicest house. And Jesus saw him up in the tree and walked over there and said, today I'm going to sleep at your house. Yeah. Why? Because there was no room for him in the manger. Sounds like I'm just trying to preach, but you understand, one of the reasons why you have so many people trying to preach prosperity is because you have so much garbage in there that was put there by religious people, and it has nothing to do with the new you, right? Yeah. When you get to heaven, what's it going to be like? Nobody expects that. Dumpsterville. Pick a dumpster, your favorite color. We got green and gray. There's a few open in the back. Dumpster heaven. And we're supposed to believe God and pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
That's right?
Yeah. So there's a lot, and one of the reasons people have to preach this so much, and I preach it so much, is that because we got to get that out of our thinking. We're still associating with poverty. We're still, which is a function of sin and a function of death.
Yeah.
Right? All right, Jesus is Lord. The more you associate with the past, the less you associate with the new. You understand that? All right, we'll move on. Romans 4:17. Romans chapter 4. Yay, glory be to God forever. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead, and what?
Calls
those things which be not as though they were. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about Abraham, and we remember God came to Abraham and said, I call you the father of many nations. What did Abraham have to do? He had to believe, and he had to begin calling the same thing. The same way God called you, God called Abraham, father of many nations, changed Abraham's name. He had to go around and begin calling himself. Say, calling himself.
Calling.
He had to call himself and see himself the way God called him and saw him. If he didn't, it never would have happened. Right? Abraham before was Abraham, was Abram without a child. The old man, Abram without a child, had to die for new Abraham, for Abraham, father of many nations, to live, you understand. So he had to stop associating with the old and had to begin associating with the new, and the new was with what? The Word of God. It's the same way with you. He's the father of our faith. We do it the same way. So what are we going to associate with? All things are of God. All things are of the Word. All things are of the Spirit. We have to associate with that. Say this, I associate with the Word. Now it's a problem if you don't know what the Word is and says, or you just have a religious conception of associating with the Word, because that'll just make you weird. Right? But I associate with wealth because he bore my poverty that I would bear his wealth. I associate with health because himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Yes. Right? I associate with righteousness and not sin because I was made the righteousness of God in him. You understand? My associations are all new. Mother people, my associations are new. My associations are people who have the same associations with God. You understand? Yay, Jesus is Lord. I read all of that, I think so. New association is what the Word says. All of your associations need to be what the Word says. And if people don't want to go there, what do you do with them? Then you don't associate with them, you cut them off, because that's part of the past, man. Say the past, man. He's the past man. Hey, past man. Right? Not the new man, he's the past man. Why? Because you're rude and ugly? No, because you don't associate with that anymore. Now understand, I'm not... Hang on here. I'm not telling you to be rude to people, but I'm saying you can't hang out with them. Jesus himself, after ministering all day, would go set himself apart. And then he would go back. Let's see if I can find that. Go to Matthew, believe 17. You all right with this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up into a high mountain apart, was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah and Elias talking with him. Here's Jesus, he was ministering all day to people, and then he goes up away, apart, and he brought two people with him. Three people with him, thank you. But he met two people up on the mountain, right? Yeah, right. So he met two people up on the mountain. Who? Moses and Elijah. Obviously his friends. His associations. These were his associations. He pulled apart from the ministry. So I'm not saying you don't minister to the poor. I'm not saying you don't minister to sick people. Right? Mm-hmm. You do. That's part of our job. That's what Jesus did. He preached to the poor, the gospel to the poor, and he healed the sick. And he preached the kingdom, right? Yeah. So if we're ministering to people, that's one thing. But you're not associating with them. They're the people you're ministering to. Then he went and he got with his associates, two of them which were in heaven. Are you here? Why did Jesus go there? To get refreshed and to get tanked up and to get filled up and to go back to where he was and who he is. Let's read the rest of this. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him, and answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make there here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Rise and be not afraid. See, this happened frequently with Jesus. We only have a few instances where it tells you. But Jesus set himself apart. He went back to his company. Right? He associated with Moses and Elijah and a few of his disciples. Are you here? Right? Glory be to God forever. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. verse 33. Be not deceived. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications. I read this in several translations. The NIV says bad company corrupts good character. How many times have you seen people, they seem to be doing all right, then they hang out with the wrong crowd and it just brings them down. They don't change the crowd, they get changed. Another word for company could be associations. Bad associations corrupt good character, right? You can't hang out with poverty and expect wealth. You can't associate with it. You can't hang out with it and expect wealth. You can't hang out with sickness and expect health. You can't associate with it. Like I said, I'm not saying you can't minister there, right? You can't, it's okay, you can visit it. Say visit it. But it's not where you live. You understand? You can visit it, but it's not where you live. And if it starts to get, because it will get off on you. It will get on you. It will get on you. If you continue to associate with it, it will get on you. And then you're no longer associating with the new, you're associating with the old. Are you here? That felt a lot better than I think you think it did. But the more you associate with it, so you can't associate with it. You can help, but you have to make that demarcation just like Jesus did. He made the statement, he made the mark that said, that's that, this is me. That's poverty, I'm not poverty. Right? Say, I'm not poverty.
I'm not poverty.
That's poverty. Right? I'm not sickness, that's sickness. I'm not sickness, I'm the healed. So if some sign of sickness, it's the devil trying to put sickness on me. I'm the healed resisting sickness. But I'm healed. I associate with the new, right? That's right. And I know this is a sensitive topic when you start to think about relationships and stuff like that. But you're going to have, it can't cross that line of who you are, right? And the relationships always try to cross the line. They're always trying to push in there. They're always trying to grab a little bit more. No, that's not who I am. I don't do that. Yeah. I heard these words, I never used to do that. As an excuse. I never used to do that. Because now you're a new man, you're in a new kingdom, you're in a kingdom of prosperity, you're in a kingdom of health, you're in a kingdom of righteousness. There's a lot of things that you never used to do that you're going to need to do. I never used to confess the word all day long. Well, no kidding, the old you would never do that, right? I know that when I'm in certain situations and around people that, you know, I pray in tongues all the time, all the time. I walk around the house praying tongues, praying tongues, praying tongues, praying tongues. I'm in the car, I'm praying tongues. I'm in the store, I'm praying tongues. And some, but you know, then you have to realize, wait a minute, people might not understand this. The person in front of me doesn't understand this, right? So I keep it under my breath. If you can't confess the word like you do, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. The Lord my God teaches me to profit, leads me by the way that I should go. The way you do in your home, and you can't pray in tongues freely without them going, well, what was that? Then that person is not someone you are, that's not your associate. It's not your company. It's not your company. It's not someone that you associate with. It doesn't mean you can't minister to them. It doesn't mean you, but they're not. Do you understand what I'm saying? My family's like that. My mother, thankfully, just, you know, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and so she'd be all right with it. She probably always thought I was a little strange anyway, but, you know, so when I visited her last time, it didn't bother me so much. But I walk around and declare the word and pray in tongues and command her dogs to get off the furniture. But I'm just drawing a line here, but if your family is not a place where you can freely be the new man, then they're not your associates. They're not your associations. Does this make sense? I'm just telling you some of the things I believe God told me last night. Some of you associate with your family too much. Isn't this great? This is a great message. Some of you associate with your family too much. I got news for you. They're not really your family. Remember Jesus? Let's turn over there. Let's go to Matthew 12. Your family is of necessity. Unless they're born again, spirit-filled Christians, tongue-talking, Bible-believing, healing, prosperity people, then they're not your real family and they're not your associations. And some of you associate with your family too much. They're too high up on the scale when they should be low. It doesn't mean you're not nice to them, but they're not really your family. Did I tell you where to turn? Matthew 12. We're almost done here. Man, I was thinking today I was going to be really nice. Matthew 12. I write this down right. Yeah, let's 46. And while Jesus talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Jesus is in a meeting. He's in the house, right? He's preaching to people. And his mother came, and they're outside. They want to speak with him.
We want to speak to you.
Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of the Father which is in heaven, the same is my mother, my brother, my sister, and mother. So Jesus is there with his people. Look around you right now. Just look around. This is your family. Right? We don't like it that way because, you know, I like my mother and I like my father. And I'm just trying to give you some clues as to guess what? They're holding you back.
I don't like that. Then I want to be held back. I'll be with my held back brothers and sisters, mother.
Right? Reminds me, you know, the people that, you know, when I first got saved, I had a lot of friends that were, you know, drinkers and rock and roll dudes and all this other stuff. Still nice people. I still like them. Do I hang out with them? No. They wouldn't have any idea what I'm talking about. But they used to think that when we all get to hell, it'll be a great party. That was their concept. We'll all go together. We'll all go down together. Do you understand? And so the concept of them is, yeah, I know they're not going in the right way, but I'm going to go with them anyway, and we'll all be one happy loser family. Now, I had this mini vision. You know, sometimes it's hard to express the way God gets things because it's supernatural. It's not natural, it's supernatural, and you're trying to express it in natural words. Right? So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden it's like a veil. Say a veil. A veil was moved away, and I realized that the earth, what's holding you, and you're only one breath away, the earth that holds you here is literally a very thin wire that's holding you above hell, which is a vast expanse, and heaven, which is another vast expanse. That's it. One breath. One heartbeat. That's there now. People that are not saved and aren't walking with God are literally one breath away from an eternity that sits. Now, and I was thinking about it. It's very much like you might see the Grand Canyon, and if you're standing on the edge, massive expanse. It reminds me a little of like when I first saw the ocean for the first time as a kid. I was like, "You mean, wow." I mean, I'd seen big lakes before. We used to go to Lake Erie. I had an uncle that was up there, and you couldn't see the other side of Lake Erie. But then when I saw the ocean, probably down in Florida, I thought you had to go to Florida to see the ocean. I didn't realize that living in New York, you could just drive a few miles and see it. As a kid, you don't get things all the time. But when I saw it, it was just so vast. And it just kept going, and it was huge. And that's the way eternity is. an eternity in hell or an eternity in heaven. And the earth is the only thing holding you in between those two. Because as soon as you leave the earth, you leave your body, you go to either heaven or hell. And what the Spirit said to me, hold closely to the things of heaven. Now let me ask you a question. If you knew the reality of it and you were dangling over this vast enormous pit of hell and you were and you're holding on to the things of heaven, would you hold on a little tighter?
Yes.
Are you going to be holding on to your family the whole time? God bless them, God love them, but you know, if I'm going here.
Yeah.
You understand? And I'm holding on tight. Say hold on.
Hold on.
Tight. And you constantly have things grabbing on your feet, constantly having things pulling you back, constantly having things trying to pull you down into the old man. And it stinks. It's terrible. It's not good. Right? And it may just be theology and things that kind of want to bring you down and bring it, step it back a notch. There is no stepping back a notch. Was Jesus stepping back a notch when he was up on the mountain? He only took three people with him. I said it again. Took three people with him, and he brought them into the place where he was going and had his fellowship.
Yeah.
Are you here?
Yeah.
If you have two, three good friends, that's all you need. Why didn't Jesus take his family with him? They wouldn't go. Doesn't mean they didn't eventually get saved. They didn't come around. That's okay. But if you're going to run the race... Say, run the race. If you're going to run the race, these are just things that you got to cross over, right?
Yeah.
And that's the way I preach. I don't preach to people that are going to maybe make a decision eventually, maybe eventually might get saved, hopefully before you die. That bothers me. That's not living the life. That's not winning anything. That's just whining. That's like losing gracefully. You getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Stop trying to bring the past back. You have no past, only the future. Stop associating with the old you. You know, the old you is yesterday, man. That's so yesterday. Because we're renewed, what, Jane? Day by day. We're renewed day by day. And if people don't see, and I try to do that with you, and I try to look at you as somebody who's new today. I'm not holding the past to you. So don't hold the past to me. That's the only way we can really change.
Yeah.
I try to hold all the things. Remember what you said 4 years ago. Right? No. 4 years is yesterday. It's so yesterday. And so people that are holding on to your yesterday are not your associations. You can talk to them, you can minister to them. They got to be holding on to your future. They need to hold on to your future. When they see you, they got to go, your future is bright. I see who you're going to. I see that you're the father of many nations. Remember Abraham? He had a lot of people. Now, fortunately, he could just fire them. But I'm sure some of them mocked him behind his back. He thinks he's the father of many nations. He hasn't had a kid. Doesn't have any children and hasn't had any children. It's been almost 20 years. Took him 20 years of seeing himself and declaring himself who he is. Right?
Wow.
But if they don't see you that way, let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, what if I'm related to them? Just don't hang around with them so much.
Yeah.
You know? It's okay. You can call them up. You can be nice. But understand you're in a ministry situation. Say ministry situation. You're holding forth the word of life. You have the ministry of reconciliation. You're bringing that to them. And when they come in, then sure, glory be to God. Are you here? I think this is doing something. Learn to say no. Right? No is an anointed word. And learn to say no. Right? You have to be forceful, because lots of times old associations and past things will try to come up and they'll try to bring you along the way. And if you don't forcefully say no, you'll get conned into it.
Yeah.
You'll get dragged down that road again. Yeah, but no's offensive. I might offend them. You will. But they're not your family. They're not your associations. They're not where you're going. And this I know is hard for some people because they enjoy being where they are. It's easier to stay still rather than move forward. But as soon as I take a step forward, guess what? That's my past. Are you going with me to this next step? And this is kind of a convenient message of being the beginning of the year, because guess what last year was? Yesterday. It's yesterday, man. It's the past. It's past man. Not Pac-Man. It's past man. All we have is today and the future. Your past doesn't exist. Surround yourself with people who see your future the way God sees your future and declares your future the way God declares your future. That way you'll be able to be all that you're called to be. And the Spirit of God will be happy with you, and he'll be able to move on you in ways he hasn't been able to move yet. Be careful of your past associations. Some of them you're holding you back. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak the blood of Jesus on these wonderful people here today. I thank you. They have great things for them, supernatural things, wonderful things that bring them higher and farther than they've ever been. I ask the anointing to settle in on them and take them. Make them who you've called them to be. I speak the blood. I declare it to be so. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.